Hello and welcome to Banter, the Radio 4 panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from Don Giovanni to Giorgio Armani are Jenny Eclair.
Hello.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
Hello.
And Will Smith.
Hello.
OK, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories, one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for getting any of my personal favourites, which, of course, they don't know, at which point you'll hear this. And remember, I rule with a rod of iron. Well, plastic truncheon, anyway. So, like a delicate stomach, just before a particularly spicy curry, let's get ready to rumble with our first top three. Our first category is your top three capital cities. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for that particular category sits out the chat. In this case, that's Russell Howard. So if you sit this one out, please. And Will Smith, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, Minas Tirith. First, the capital city of Gondor. Originally known as Minas Anor, it was built in 3320 by Anarion, brother of Isildur and second son of Elendil, High King of Arnor. Ostaher rebuilt the city in 420, and it became the capital of Gondor after the siege and abandonment of Osgiliath. And for those of you who are thinking it's very kind of old and medieval and kind of not that funky, I mean, since Aragorn has taken over it, they got Pizza Express, Hard Rock Cafe, and with all the elves turning up, you know, it's got a really thriving gay scene as well. So it's definitely looking up, but, you know, there are places in the real world that I like. St Helier, the capital of Jersey, which is a fantastic place with its kind of wide streets, old-fashioned markets and French street names. It's also the backdrop for some of Jim Bergerac's most challenging cases.
Anybody been to St Helier?
I think so, haven't I? It's the town in Jersey.
It's the only town in it.
Hardly a capital city. I don't know if we can count.
28,000 people.
Yeah, I like. It's a bit like St Helier, Reykjavik in Iceland. It's a very.
Fun.
The reason it's a great city is because it's the only city in the world with a penis museum, and that is true. Which is the reason I went there. I didn't go to see any of the geezers.
I know it's going to be obvious, but what's in the penis museum?
They have.
Did you get a guided tour?
I did. Well, I talked to the man. There's a man called Sigurdur Hjartarson. He collects the severed penises of all the mammals from Iceland. And I said, why just Iceland, isn't it? And he said, to collect all the penises of all the animals in the world would be impossible. Only a lunatic would attempt that. There's big whale penises.
Are they stuffed and mounted somewhere?
Some of them are. So they're not exactly stuffed. They're dried. Some of them are dried out.
Can I ask about the souvenir store?
How can you beat that? There's nowhere else that's thought of having a penis.
I will trump you.
Go on.
Well, I've gone for Lima. Not only is it a capital city, it's an animal and a bean, isn't it? A vegetable. So there aren't many capital cities that can say they are an animal, mineral and vegetable.
That's true. I'll give you three smart-ass points, I think.
Yeah. I've also got wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen. You see, that New York, New York, so good they named it twice. But it didn't have wonderful, wonderful in the title, so therefore not as good. And also, the in the song it goes, wonderful, wonderful Copenhagen, salty old dog of the sea. I've got an affinity to anything else that's called a salty old dog of the sea.
I like Paris. I went on a school trip to Paris.
I bet that was mental, wasn't it?
It was crazy. I'll tell you what, on the first
take
day,
off your cravats, we're in France.
Did your school take you to any other place, just to places that capitulated to the Nazis? Is that
yeah.
I think London's a good capital city.
Yes.
Yeah. That was an easy cheer.
It was. When a man is tired of London, he's probably been to the Trocadero Rock Circus and on the London Eye a couple of times thinking.
Anyone else want to add any more capital cities?
Kuala Lumpur.
What's that the capital of?
Malaya. I was born there.
Were you?
Yes, it's in my passport.
Well, fair enough.
KL, we call it.
How long did you live there for?
About 2 years.
Oh, right, OK.
Yes.
So you were bred there, almost?
Well, sort of, yes.
Yeah. What's the public transport system like there? Have they got an underground?
She was two.
I was carried. I was carried in my mother's arms. Yeah. That's all I can remember.
The infrastructure in this country is horrific. Let's leave. You're two. I said let's leave, Father.
Is the Vatican a capital city? Vatican City.
It is a city itself. It's a state.
It's the only city there.
It's the only city in Vatican City.
By default, it is the capital city.
Well, that's cheating then, really, isn't it?
Well, it's cheating for the bloke of who runs a religion based on the teachings of Jesus to live in a gigantic palace full of treasure, but, you know. Got away with it so far.
So you can't be in Vatican City without being in the capital city?
Yeah.
There's nothing to aspire to.
The only person who lives there is the Pope. He doesn't aspire to much. What's he aspiring to? I could be Super Pope next. That's what I'm hoping to get.
No one's got my favourite capital city, have they? Don't just run through about 10 each.
Vienna, it means nothing to Midshore, but I like it.
That means nothing to me either.
Is it Dublin? Is that what you like?
Ah. I like Dublin because I've been there recently, and in Ireland they have actually banned smoking in all public places, so no pubs, no restaurants. And it's fantastic if you don't like smoke, because you can go into any pub, any restaurant, and there's no smoke, and it's marvellous. But when you get outside, you just choke to death. Everybody's they're smoking like mad. That means you get 5 extra points just for being clever. And I think time is up on this topic, so I'm going to have to ask you for your final top threes. Will Smith, what have you got?
St Helier, Paris and London.
Not the one out of Lord of the Rings.
No, go on. St Helier, Minas Tirith and London.
That's OK. Jenny, what have you ended up with?
I'm going to definitely Copenhagen. And then London, because otherwise I'll never be able to get in a black cab again without some bloke boring on about it. And Lima, of course.
And Richard, your top three?
Reykjavik, London, and I'll go for Prague, because my dad was approached by a prostitute there, and and he keeps going on about it as if it was some kind of compliment to me. Going on, a woman. Yeah, she asked me.
Well, you've all scored some points here, but you can all score some more bonus points if any of your answers match those in Russell Howard's envelope. So, Russell, please let us know what are your top three capital cities.
They are London, yes. First of all. I'm a big fan of pigeons and anger. Paris. And Caer Paravel, which is, of course, the capital city of Narnia.
You guys are so sad.
So that means Jenny and Richard and Will, who all put London, get 1 point each, and that means 3 points for Russell Howard, which means at the end of round one, still being paraded around the paddock, are in joint fourth place, Russell Howard and Will Smith. In second, we have Jenny Eclair, but galloping into the lead, it's Richard Herring. OK, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. So, Jenny, you're up first. Your Either Or is this. Joe Pasquale or Janet Street Porter?
May I say both? Because they belong together in a Venn diagram, don't they? Of sort of people with sort of odd voices that have both been on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Otherwise, if I have to pick one, I'd go for Janet because I'm really scared of her.
Fair enough. I'll give you 2 points for that, I think. Richard, yours is feeling 22 or acting 17?
Yeah, that's Katie Mellower there. That's the closest thing to crazy she has ever been. To feel 3 years older than she actually is, whilst acting 2 years younger than she actually is. That she should almost be committed for that. That is, when she gets a bit older, she's going to realise that being 22 and being 17 is the same thing. It's the same. Shut up, we're complaining. It's the same thing. What she should worry about is acting 17, feeling 17, but being 38. That's what. So I'll go for acting 17 because that's the bit I do.
I'll give you 4 for that, I think. Russell, yours is this: KGB or KFC?
I'd probably go for the KGB, and I'd make them spy on the Colonel, so we could find out, you know, sort of beat it out of him to find out what the original recipe is. And then me and the guys kick back and enjoy the chicken, you know, maybe put some Simply Red on, really enjoy ourselves.
I'll give you 3 points for that. Finally, Will Smith, Gary Barlow or a Gary Baldy?
I'd rather eat a Gary Baldy. I'd probably also rather hear one sing, so Gary Baldy.
OK, you can have 3 for that. We'll add those points onto our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top three. Will Smith, you're sitting this one out, so please sit back and relax as we hammer out the top three magicians. So can you start us off, please? Russell Howard.
Paul Daniels has got to be up there straight away. Wonderful magician, and he can stand up to any US rapper you put in front of him. Do you not see the farm?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice brought it to Daniels, and Daniels put it back up Vanilla's face. It was an amazing moment. I've actually met Paul Daniels. You know when you just can't take your eyes off something because he's going to do something crazy? And he kept doing magic tricks and stuff like that.
Magic Tourette's.
Yeah. But he's just like, he's like a little goblin. You just can't keep your eyes off him.
If you had like quite a boring dinner party or something, you know, if you had Daniels in a cage, you'd be, you know.
Yeah.
You know, things would kick off. You're like, are you enjoying your puddings? Rattle, rattle, rattle. Oh! And he comes out. And Jesus, you know, he's done a few fair tricks.
Some would call them miracles.
Well, you know. I didn't see them, but they're meant to be very good.
Came back to life as well at the end, which is more than Houdini could do. So,
are we counting wizards in this? Shall we count wizards?
We're opening a door we don't want to open if we allow wizards. Just Harry Potter's going to be in.
Harry Potter.
He's not a magician.
Just remember who's got the answers in the envelope.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Harry Potter has to count because he is a trainee magician.
He isn't a magician. He's a wizard. They are. A magician isn't magic. A wizard is mad. Can do magic.
Richard, it sounds like someone's been chucked out of the circle.
Jenny Eclair.
I choose Peck and Pete. He's marvellous. If you've got a children's party, that's the fella you need. Peck and Pete, always cheap. And he does this fantastic trick at the end. All the mums have to shut their eyes, right, for 20 seconds. Open your eyes. All your handbags and purses have gone. Peck and Pete, he's like magic, he is.
What about the great Sorprendo?
Nice.
Nice, if only for Piff Paff Puff. Which, for a long time, I thought was a homophobic breakfast cereal. Nemesis to Snap, Crackle and Pop.
He's my favourite, the Great Sorprendo, yeah. Because, of course, he was famously married to Victoria Wood, and they split up because the magic went out of their relationship.
Hey! David Blaine, I liked him. All women liked him, because that's our form of entertainment, watching a man slowly starve to death in a nappy in a box. It fulfills all our fantasies, basically.
I like the fact that he's got beef with Eamon Holmes.
Yeah.
Come on, that dream. There aren't many magicians who've got, like, a genuine feud with a GMTV presenter.
How did that happen? What's the
I don't know, but Houdini beef? And Wincy Willis aren't I'm speaking to.
Sooty should surely get a medal.
Yes.
For
absolutely.
Being not a magician that doesn't even speak and is just a piece of cloth and still is able to do magic. Derren Brown, he's good.
His full name, Derren Brown Mind Control. That's what it says on his passport.
I've met him, I shared a car with him, and I said, would you ever consider using your powers to, you know, get off with women and stuff? You're going to trick. And then the journey did seem to pass very quickly.
You woke up in a bath.
My underpants were the wrong way round. Siegfried and Roy are brilliant. I mean, some people put their heads in tigers' mouths, but they were really committed to that. That must have been a great show to be at, come on. I mean, it's terrible what happened. It must have been brilliant.
When they were thinking up their stage name, they obviously put a lot of effort into Siegfried and then just gave up. Went to the pub, oh, Roy, that'll do.
I've seen a couple called Penn and Teller.
Yeah. They do things that look like they're cutting each other up, don't they?
They reveal the tricks.
And they do things with paper. I quite like that, you know, when they're cutting paper and then you get a long string of girls holding hands.
Is that all they do? I thought it was mainly knives and
they
stuff.
They do pick a number, pick a colour as well.
Yeah.
They also ripped off Sooty because Teller doesn't speak, does he?
Yeah, and Penn sometimes puts his hand up.
Well, I think I'll say that's your lot, so please give me your final top three magicians, starting with Jenny Eclair.
I'm going to go for Peck and Pete. Harry Potter, because I suspect Will might have him in there, and David Blaine.
Richard Herring, what are yours?
I'll go for Gandalf, which I think you'll find Will has in his envelope. Siegfried from Siegfried, but not Roy, because he wasn't committed enough. And my granddad.
Russell, what are your top three?
Jesus, Paul Daniels and Gandalf.
Some tactical voting, I think, going on here. So then, Mr. Will Smith, put us out of our misery, open up your envelope and tell us what are your top three magicians, please.
Houdini.
Mm.
Jerry Sadowitz. And Gandalf.
Yeah!
So at the end of that round then, 1 point to Russell Howard and one to Richard Herring for saying Gandalf, which was inside Will Smith's envelope. That means he gets two. And that means at the end of that round, in fourth place, we have Jenny Eclair. In third, Will Smith. In second, Richard Herring, but leaping into first, Russell Howard. OK, time for another quick-fire round. This time, it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite scents, please. And as our audience arrived today, we asked them which was their favourite scent, and our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. So, Will Smith, what have you got for your favourite scent?
Sight.
Russell Howard, what do you have?
Smell.
Yay! All right, Jenny Eclair?
Well, it's the only one I've got left.
That'll be touch. And finally, Richard Herring.
Perspective.
That's what I call playing to win. Well, there are a few oddities amongst the audience choices. Frankincense, was somebody put that? Rather amusing. Spider sense, that's very good. Oh, yeah. But in reverse order, in third place, according to our audience, with 14%, we have smell. And in second place, 17% for touch. And that means the winner, with 36% of the audience vote, is sight. So that's 5 points to Will Smith, nothing for anyone else, I'm afraid. So on to our next top three. And it's your top three 80s pop songs. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out because you know nothing about music. So what do you think, Jenny Eclair, 80s pop songs?
I was in a pop video for Culture Club's Karma Chameleon.
So really?
Obviously
no,
that's...
Really?
Yes, oh yes.
Wow.
Yes, I danced on that video.
What were you wearing?
I was one of the poverty-stricken, shabby women, wenches. Ooh. Yes, I was a scabby wench at the back.
I didn't notice you, Jen. You must have just blended into the background.
So obviously that must get in. There's no one quite like Grandma. St. Winifred School Choir.
I'd like to take a point off you for even mentioning that. Will Smith?
Well, I grew up in the 80s, so a lot of that music is really entwined with those kind of key rites of passage moments. I mean, you know, I lost my virginity when I was ready. Billy Ocean's Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. Stalker's Anthem. Just a really scary song.
Did they have stalkers in the 80s? It was kind of... It hadn't been
oh, 80s. I was one, yeah.
Ah, really?
Yeah, I can't go within 50 yards of John Nettles. So I should probably name-check some of the rap that was around back then to sound cool. So Ghostbusters and Heart and Soul by Tapao.
Did you have big hair in the 80s, Bill?
It was fairly big.
It was like Jersey's Brian May, wasn't it? What about the Power of Love by Huey Lewis and the News? That's the one from Back to the Future, isn't it?
Mm.
When I was about eight, I went through this really weird phase. I started shaving when I was eight. I didn't even need to. Listening to that in the morning, putting Brute on. Thinking, you know, I'll shave, I'll put Brute on pretty soon, I'll have a hoverboard.
Human League, Don't You Want Me, Baby?
No. No, it's not.
I'm not fussed. I'll have better offers later. That was good with the hair down one side and then the two cheap-looking girls. That gave us all hope.
In the days before Big Brother, that was the only way you could get famous, was to be picked by a member of a band and then put on stage in Top of the Pops.
That's not the only way you could get famous in eight. What were them Cub Scouts and Jim Will Fix It?
But we're forgetting that there's another classic 80s song that we're forgetting here. I'm talking, of course, of Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love. Rock in a suit. That's so 80s. That was wonderful. And his follow-up single, I Didn't Mean to Turn You On, which just makes me feel slightly queasy.
It's a bit of an egomaniac thing to do, isn't it? Sorry for walking past, lady.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do it when I try, so it really annoys me, actually, thinking about it.
Duran Duran haven't had a mention yet. I think they should if we're talking about
Rio.
The 80s. Rio was a marvellous video because that was shot, I think, in Sri Lanka, wasn't it? Just to show how much money they had
to spend. I wasn't in that one.
No, you were. It's a pity. You would have liked that. You're not going to get my favourite 80s song, I don't think. You have mentioned the band.
London Calling by The Clash.
No, 70s, that's a 70s song, culturally. My favourite Human League song is The Lebanon, because, you know...
If anyone was equipped to deal with that topic.
Absolutely right. Because it contains the lyric, he walks outside the camp and stops, he scans the world outside, and where there used to be some shops is where the snipers hide. That's a pretty acute political comment, and I would say they're stupid snipers. Why would you hide where the shops used to be? Hide where they still are. There's loads more places to hide.
Because you're a bad sniper if people know where you are as well.
Yeah, I think so as well. But Phil Oakey knew where they were, and he's got only one eye showing. Well, I hate to say this, but I think I want to break free of this round now. So please give me your final top threes of 80s pop songs. We'll start with Jenny Eclair. Your final three, please.
I'm going to go Human League Lebanon, Tapao, China in Your Hand, and Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas Time?
OK, Will Smith, what are yours?
The Reflex, with their single The Politics of Dancing. If you remember that. We got the message, heard it on the airwaves, the politicians are now DJs. The politics of dancing, the politics of ooh, feeling good, the politics of moving. Is this message understood? No. Clearly it isn't. Enya's Orinoco Flow.
Ah.
Yeah. And, of course, Africa by Toto, because of the line, I know that I must do what's right, as sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. It's brilliant. You've got a keyboard solo, a mullet, and a geography lesson.
Russell Howard, your top three, please.
Yo Bum After the Show by Public Enemy, The Power of Love by Huey Lewis and the News, and the theme music to Airwolf.
Right, let's see if there are any more points up for grabs. Richard Herring, please tell us, what are your top three 80s pop songs?
Number one, Rock Me Amadeus by Falco.
Oh, yeah.
That is unbeatable. Eye of the Tiger by Survivor.
Oh, obvious.
I love Frosty.
And the one I actually... and the actual best song of the 1980s, and there aren't many to choose from, is Veronica by Elvis Costello.
So no points to anyone there, as nobody matched any of Richard Herring's choices. So as we begin the final countdown, at the end of that round, we're left with, in last place, Jenny Eclair, in third, Richard Herring, second, Russell Howard. That means out in the lead, it's Will Smith. OK, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win? A series of hypothetical bouts of anything from Kung Fu to Guess Who. Again, it's points for reasons, not answers. So, Richard Herring, who would hypothetically win a drinking contest, Alice Beer or Alec Guinness?
I know you're trying to trap me because you've given a man and a woman there and you think, well, obviously, you have to go for the man because men are better at drinking. But no, it's a trap because, of course, Alice Beer's one of the lesser well-known members of the Ladette culture. She used to go out drinking with Sarah Cox and Zoe Ball. Weirdly, though, none of those are their surnames. They name themselves after what they like best in the world. And Sarah Cox really liked rowing. Zoe Ball's a big netball fan. And Alice Beer loved beer. So she would definitely win because she subsists on beer.
OK, I'll give you two halves for that. In other words, one. Russell Howard, who would win at ice hockey, Vanilla Ice or David Hockney?
Oh. Well, Ice doesn't sweat it from the mic because he's cool as ice. He's pretty tasty at hockey, but David Hockney has watched The Mighty Ducks over 1,000 times. So nobody messes with Hockney.
I'll give you 3 points for that. Jenny Eclair, who would win in a snowball fight, Jon Snow or Lucille Ball?
Oh, that's easy. Lucille Ball, she put a stone inside the snowball, you know, like all girls do. And she wouldn't stop throwing snowballs until Jon Snow was dead.
I'll give you a decisive 3 for that then. Sure. And finally, Will Smith, who would win at bridge, Isambard Kingdom Brunel or Jeff Bridges?
Well, if Jeff Bridges can understand the script of Tron, which I can't, and I have spent years trying to break it down, I've written it out, got flow charts, it doesn't work at all, then I'm sure he can master the game of bridge, so Jeff Bridges.
5 points for that, I think, just for mentioning Tron. We'll add those points to the scores and go straight then into our final top three. Jenny Eclair, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you were after your top three things a pirate says. Richard Herring, please do start us off.
Ah. That's the main thing they traditionally say. What has 8 legs, 8 arms and 8 eyes?
Don't know.
8 pirates.
Richard, I'm going to give you a point for that because people could actually repeat that in the playground tomorrow.
They could, but I thought I'd do a proper joke. My name is Edward Teach, but people prefer to call me Blackbeard. That's something a pirate might say.
What, are we not going to do the voices? I thought we were going to do the voices.
The voice. Yeah. Russell, the voice. You get a point, instant point for being proper and do a voice.
Right. I'll slit your gizzards.
Oh, that's good. That's
quite like your voice anyway.
I've been hiding a secret. For many years now, I've been a pirate.
Have you?
I've got a pedalo. I'm starting small. How about the DVD quality of this picture is practically perfect.
Well, obviously, a couple of points there, I think, for causing an audience member to clap, which is good. And of course, bringing up the subject of DVD piracy, which is a crime. So, Will Smith.
Dead men tell no tales. That's a good one.
But if you hide a dictaphone in their belly before you kill them, when you press their stomach, you'll have a lot of fun with that.
Dead men tell no tales.
Would that work?
Welcome to chapter one.
To bid a soft farewell is an old pirate saying, which means you leave your confederates without their knowledge, often carrying their share of the loot. But don't confuse it with to leave a soft farewell. That's something tramps do to mark their territory.
Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum?
Yeah.
It's a good one. I think Father Christmas might start out as a pirate, isn't it?
Kiss my hook.
Kiss my hook. That's
brilliant. Shouldn't we use some of this money to spend on realistic prosthetic limbs? Yeah. Avast. Quite like the Avast.
Isn't that what Bruce Willis wore in... How about, oh, I'm fed up with fish. What I wouldn't do for a potato, whatever that is.
Well, that's your lot, I'm afraid. So for the last time, can I have your top three things a pirate says? Will Smith?
Shiver me timbers, dead men tell no tales, and to bid a soft farewell.
Marvellous. Russell Howard, what have you ended up with?
Arr. Walk my plank. The plank. No, no. And, has anyone seen my varnish? Look at my legs.
Richard Herring, your top three, please.
R. It's driving me nuts. It's a punchline to another pirate joke, I know. He's got a ship's wheel down his trousers. Jim Ladd.
Very good. Well, I must say, like George W. Bush's head, there's very little in it. So this could change everything. Jenny Eclair, please open your envelope. Let us know what are your top three things a pirate says.
Okay. Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of Chardonnay. Pirate Jenny, original one. Now then, this is going to cause problems. I've got... Jim Ladd.
Fair enough.
And then my last one is... Shiver me timbers.
So for matching up with shiver me timbers, Will Smith gets 1 point, Russell Howard gets 1 point for matching up R, and Richard Herring gets 2 points for matching up R and Jim Ladd. That means Jenny gets 4 points, and adding on those final bonus points, I'm afraid that means at the end of today's show, our top two losers are Richard Herring and Jenny Eclair. But in joint first place, we have Russell Howard and Will Smith. Yeah! So that's all from us for today's show. A big thank you to all my guests. And remember, good things often come in small packages, apart from Easter eggs. Goodbye.
Banter was presented by Andrew Collings and featured Jenny Eclair, Russell Howard, me, Richard Herring, and Will Smith. The show was devised by Tim Barber, and the producer was Richard Grocock. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.
A quick word from Francine Stock.
I'll be in Hollywood 2 days ahead of the Oscars for the first edition of the new extended film programme, talking to this year's frontrunners about the odds, the speeches, the pitfalls and surprise pleasures of the world's most watched entertainment event. It's an unusual year. The five contenders for best film aren't so much shiny blockbusters as thoughtful cinema, but the competition is just as fierce. So for the inside track on Oscar night, join me, Francine Stock, in Hollywood tomorrow at 4:30.
BBC Radio 4, the news at 7 o'clock. Liberal Democrats.